Hearing more about it. Hello, my name is Father Boniface. I'm a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent Archabbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and so grateful to speak today with Bishop Joseph Strickland of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. Bishop Strickland, it's wonderful to be with you.
Thank you, Father Boniface. It's great to be with you.
Bishop Strickland, you have just set out with a constitution on teaching, a zealous program moving forward in your diocese, which, as you said, on your 30th anniversary, you'd like to set something in motion that could last 30 years and beyond. Share with us a little bit more about your program for teaching.
Yes, it's been something that's been developing, I'd say, over the past 2 to 3 years, just in my thoughts and prayers. And as 2017 began, I felt moved by the Holy Spirit to really say, we have to teach. As I've said very often to the small staff that our institute is already developing, we have to get the great teaching of Christ, of our Catholic faith, that it is there, it exists, but we have to get it out of the big books on shelves into people's hearts, and that's the whole objective of this constitution on teaching.
And you mentioned the Institute, Bishop. It seems like that's a major instrument by which you want to carry out the teaching in your diocese.
Yes, it's interesting, Father Boniface. The progression was really a decision to embrace this teaching mission, and then a recognition, well, we need a body, some sort of facility or something to do that. The Institute grew out of that. And the actual constitution on teaching was my answer to a roadmap for what's this institute need to do. So, and it really has served that purpose so far. It all came into existence. The constitution was published in May and really was an effort of, I believe, the Holy Spirit inspiring me and many others to collaborate. I consulted other priests and bishops and a lot of people on my staff, and the Constitution was published in May of 2017. In the background, we had been working on staffing an institute, and thankfully we have an executive director, a director of family life, and a director of faith formation that are all working diligently as we speak to use the Constitution as the roadmap that we intended for it to be. And it really is proving to be very helpful to have that plan that it will take immense work to fulfill, but I'm excited to see the ways it's already beginning to blossom forth.
You mentioned some of the members of the Institute. How big would the Institute be in your diocese?
Right now it's those three people. Dr. David Tamasia is the executive director. Deanna Johnston is a young mother and wife who is embracing family life, developing a marriage formation process that will be very aggressive and joy-filled to approach the couples as they enter into marriage and forming a family. And then Father Joshua Nye, one of our younger priests who just returned from studying at the Biblicum in Rome, a very talented, gifted young man that's working on the faith formation element of the teaching mission. So those three are busy right now, but they're all very talented, very committed to the faith, very orthodox, and it's just exciting to see what they've already accomplished and the things that are in the works for the future.
And you've mentioned the family a couple of times, Bishop. Tell us about the role that the family plays or the direction of the family in the teaching.
Well, to me, it's about teaching families. One of my favorite parts of the Constitution as it developed is what it calls seasons of life, starting with 0 to 4 year olds, going all the way past 70 into however long someone is given life by God, to recognize that there are 6 or 7 different age groupings there that are phases of life that people go through. I think that the vision of the Constitution on teaching is trying to recognize that little children, elementary age kids, certainly teenagers, the youth that we were talking about this morning at the bishop's meeting, all of them have different needs. They have a different perspective. Little children certainly need to just be introduced to who they are, created by God, loved always by God, as they begin to learn how to sin, as we all do, and to be pulled back into the light through understanding what God's plan is. And then certainly the youth, I think, is one of our largest challenges. I would say youth and young couples entering into marriage, or who should be considering marriage or some other vocation, those are the really core audiences that we've got to address for today, because they're today and the future. So building, certainly we want to care for every family and to recognize that every household is a family of God in some form. The elderly person that may feel sort of discarded and forgotten, they're a household of God. They're part of the family. They have their own family in different forms. And really the teaching mission is the bold challenge it faces is to reach out to all of them with teaching materials that get them engaged and excited. I love to tell the congregation at confirmations that if you're breathing, God has a plan for you. And I think so much of society says, oh, the quality of your life, you don't matter anymore. You're just sort of forgotten and you're not in the mainstream of things. We have to turn that around and to teach people, as long as you're given the breath of life from God, you have a mission. And many of the great saints lived into an elderly life and continue to contribute. We're blessed. We honored one of the bishops this morning who is retired, of course, but he's turning 90 and still very vibrant and active in the conference. A great statement that as long as we are alive and given life by God, even if we're debilitated in some ways by age or illness, that is sacred. And we need to help people understand they have something to share in the teaching mission. So that is the hope of the fulfilling the Constitution, to have every person engaged in recognizing that they're part of this mission. Nobody's on the periphery, as Pope Francis reminds us so often.
And Bishop, in thinking about teaching and mentioning the family, it seems that every parent should be an honorary member of the Institute, but they need to be formed to know how to carry out that role.
Absolutely. Father Boniface, you really touch on something that I've really tried to encourage in the Diocese of Tyler, is the recognition that from baptism, we're all called to be catechists. Probably in most parishes, the announcement, we need catechists, we need teachers for our faith formation program, whatever form it takes, that's a very common announcement you'll hear, certainly in our parishes. And I know we're not unique as a medium-sized diocese in East Texas. We face the challenges that most large dioceses, small dioceses, medium-sized dioceses, we all face basically the same challenges. As you're probably aware, we're just celebrating 100 years of the Conference of Catholic Bishops, and they were reviewing some of the notes from the very earliest challenges they were facing, and it sounds like today's challenges.
Wow.
With immigrants, with youth, with marriage, with the sanctity of life, and all of those. So the challenge of living the message of Jesus Christ is, as I like to, it actually mentions in the Constitution, I think we're challenged in the 21st century to go back to the first century life of the church and recognize we're here to evangelize and re-evangelize a world that too often the popular media, the popular idea is that God is somehow of the past and is not relevant for today. The teaching mission is to recognize that we have to embrace what God has revealed to us through His own divine Son and get that truth, as difficult as it is to face. We've got to be strong enough to face the real truth. I was very pleased to hear Cardinal Dolan this morning speaking of the ways the conference is supporting the celebration of the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, which will be next July 25th when it was first promulgated 50 years ago. That document has so much truth that many have ignored in the Catholic community and beyond. And I think that there's a hunger for that truth, even though, yes, it's challenging. It's hard to live up to our baptism, but people are beginning to recognize that life is empty without it, and the meaning of life loses its luster if we don't embrace, yes, the challenges of loving in reality, of respecting every person, of welcoming the immigrant, all the whole gamut of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And as a bishop, I have to say, this all has to be fueled by prayer and developing that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I've been a priest for 32 plus years, a bishop for just shy of 5 years, and I continue to grow, thankfully, especially in this year of 2017. It has been the most challenging year of my life, but the most blessed year all at the same time. And I think many of us find that to be the case. If we look deeply at Christ in the Gospels, he's facing the greatest challenges of the rejection of his teaching, even by his disciples at times, even by the apostles, questioning and challenging and not wanting to go with what he's revealing. So Christ faced more than anything we face, and he shows us the way. So what's exciting to me about this teaching mission is we live in a part of East Texas, Northeast Texas, a lot of evangelical Protestants that are very much with us in some of these key issues that we need to teach these days, the sanctity of life in all its dimensions, and the moral questions that are going, as I say, bonkers. it has to be recognized that there is truth, and we needed to get it to everyone. There is no lost cause or lost soul as far as Christ is concerned. Look at how he treats with compassion the people that he encounters in the gospel. We're challenged to encounter every person with that same presence of Christ ourselves, and to see him in others, as Saint Teresa of Calcutta so beautifully reminds us. When we minister to someone else that may not be attractive in terms of the world, but when we minister to them as part of the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters, recognizing Christ is there, we're living out the gospel where he says, how you treated the least is how you treated me. That's what we have to teach people, and that all the material values and everything that is so attractive is just part of a passing world, that we need to remember we're in a marathon to everlasting life. Instead, we tend to sprint in all kinds of directions that just lead to darkness and emptiness, with the opiate drug crisis, the continuing challenges of abortion, the gender identity questions. I mean, as you know, as any person of faith knows, the challenges are endless. But if you look at the first century church, they faced basically the same challenges. And I think we have to trust that the same Holy Spirit is with us, guiding us, and we need to root ourselves in that strength and recognize the world is not the answer, but living Christ faithfully and trusting in his Spirit.
Bishop Strickland, I can see in talking to you where the desire to teach comes from, and that it wells up from deep in your heart.
Well, it truly does.
And I noticed also in the Constitution on Teaching, you model the very thing that you also are asking the Institute and the diocese to do, drawing from magisterial teaching, from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and then applying it in a way that people can receive it, just as you shared with us about Humanae Vitae, drawing from that magisterial teaching, but then explaining it in a way that is accessible to the people of today.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me to recognize, because I studied canon law at Catholic University back 92 to 94, many years ago, and I remember thinking that, you know, we have such wonderful teaching, and I didn't recognize just how important that was at that time. I mean, I knew that, I guess my study of canon law just was from a canonical perspective, a review of everything the church has to offer. Mm. And there's so much there that it isn't religiosity. It's basic truth for the human person and how we as men and women can truly flourish. And I guess to me, that's the bottom line of our teaching. The Constitution speaks of the reality that we have about 120,000 Catholics in the Diocese of Tyler, 33 counties, about 1.5 million people. And I feel called to reach out. Certainly, many rejected Christ, many will continue to reject his teaching. But I think we have to keep bringing it to the people of God. And as I said, thankfully, we live in a basically faith-based culture where many people embrace Jesus Christ at some level. And the more they can understand that we believe in the Catholic tradition, that we have the fullness of the message of Christ, his body and blood, soul and divinity in the Eucharist, his teachings in Scripture, his presence in the body, and then in the hierarchical structure of the church. Certainly, it's not about proselytizing or trying to convert every person to the Catholic club, in a sense, but it's about humanity recognizing the truth that's there for all of us. And certainly, our non-Catholic brothers and sisters have a lot that we can learn from as well in really joyfully embracing that intimate life with Jesus Christ. And as Catholics, I guess my latest endeavor is what I've called the epicenter of the teaching mission, is to really teach what we believe in the real presence. The divine Son of God is present there in the tabernacles of all of our churches. We receive him into our bodies. We talk a lot in our diocese about the need for greater reverence at Mass and greater respect for the teachings. I really believe more and more that if I can help people deepen their faith in the real presence and understand what that really means and make it a way of life, and those who may have fallen away from the church or have never been Catholic, at least to understand this is what we believe. And in a sense, to hold us to living up to that. If we really believe that, as probably you've heard non-Catholics say, if they believe what we really believe, that Christ is present there, God's divine Son, truly there in the form of consecrated bread, then they would be on their knees coming into our churches. I think that we need to listen to that and to recognize they're looking to us to say, put your lives where your mouth is. Really live this truth. And I believe more and more that if we can help in all of our churches, if we can help people to really embrace that belief in the real presence and to know that's the door to this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that so many of the recent popes have spoken of, I believe we can truly allow then people certainly to be reverent at Mass and recognize what the Mass is for, what it's about, worshiping God, worshiping his Son, being alive in his Spirit, and then to have the strength to embrace even the hardest challenges of our faith. I mean, going back to Humanae Vitae, much of the past 50 years, and I just recently saw a documentary on Blessed Paul VI, that really showed me in a deeper way the suffering he must have gone through when that teaching that he knew had to be stood up for, had to be proclaimed, the ancient teaching of the church. No, it hadn't changed with all this technology, with the pill, with all the things that are available. At that point, many rejected it, even in the Catholic community. But I think we're coming around after 50 years and sadly seeing so much of what he predicted coming true. I think many people, Catholic and non-Catholic, are beginning to recognize the way the world is guiding us is not to life but to death, as St. John Paul II spoke of a culture of death. So much of that is rooted in the rejection of Humanae Vitae, I believe. I mean, we can't make progress in the sanctity of life of the unborn until we recognize and really embrace as a human family what the Church continues to teach, that it's from conception to natural death that life is sacred, and then beginning to look at, let's not mess with conception. Let's recognize a man and woman coming together in the sacrament of matrimony is the only place that is fitting for God to bring about a new life. Mm. And from that moment of conception, there's a new person, and that person is sacred. We've got a long way to go and a lot of teaching to do, but I guess you can tell I'm energized by the mission. And thankfully, they're wonderful people, wonderful, well-formed Catholic people, that as I began to look for an executive director that is now Dr. David Tamasia. He was at Ave Maria teaching as a professor in Florida, and we convinced him to come to East Texas, which is with his wonderful family, his wife, and six kids. But when I started looking for the kind of solid theologian that I needed as an executive director for this fledgling institute, I felt really blessed that, and I credit St. John Paul II with his World Youth Day, his reaching out to youth. Dr. Tamasia, all those years ago, was one of those youth that was inspired by John Paul II to delve more deeply into his Catholic faith. He is an attorney who, after about 10 years of practicing law, went back to school and studied theology, and now is an expert in ecclesiology. And but I was blessed to find, it was a tough choice. I mean, we're very blessed, and I'm very pleased with what the small team of three is doing already. But the blessing was to say there were some great choices out there, and I really do credit that as part of the wonderful legacy of St. John Paul II. Mm. His catechism, his inspiration of youth, and his clarity of facing what the truth is. He showed us there in Poland the potential it has to liberate the people of God. And I think that same liberation needs to happen in East Texas in a very different way, but to free hearts to really live the truth. And that's what St. John Paul II was all about.
Bishop Strickland, you're truly an inspiration, and I'm so excited about what you're doing in East Texas, in Tyler, in Northeast Texas, and I really hope that there'll be more zeal, and I hope our listeners can also pick up on that fervor for the truth, which really transforms our lives. And as you said, together with worship and our participation in the Eucharist and our love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Blessed Sacrament.
Well, thank you, Father Boniface. We're really a diocese of 30 years, as you mentioned. We've grown a lot, about 120,000 Catholics. We started with 35,000. We have a per capita generosity with bishops' appeals and things that is amazing. But we're still a poor diocese in many ways. We don't have super wealthy people. We have super generous people. Mm-hmm. I have to say that on behalf of the community of the Diocese of Tyler. But we are in need of support, and I encourage the people of the diocese and anyone who would want to support this mission. We are working very hard to be wise stewards of the funds that people, hard-earned dollars that people give, because the teaching mission has really revolutionized the diocese. And I've made some of the toughest decisions that I've had to make as a bishop, personnel-wise and with what direction we're going, but trying to do our best to pull back from sort of the standard bureaucracies of even a 30-year-old diocese. And to really, my first criteria is it about the teaching mission? Mm. And the first criteria for hiring the new people that we can and need to hire as we develop the institute, are they committed fully to their Catholic faith? Is that their motivation? If that's the case, then sure, we need other talents, and we've got some great people working with technical expertise and with internet, and we're looking to try to use the technology as the Constitution speaks of it. But a recognition that technology is not the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. But I love to think of I love St. Paul's letters and his zeal for the faith and his clarity and boldness in proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ in all those different letters to all those cultures. And I love to think that if St. Paul were about his mission today, 2,000 years later, I think he would be using tweets and Facebook and all the different technologies to use them to get across the message of Jesus Christ. So the message is what is important, but we need to use the tools that technology makes available.
We make such a great point on that in the Constitution on Teaching, and I'm grateful that you are willing to share your teaching, your enthusiasm, and the movement of the Holy Spirit in you and in your diocese through the medium of radio. But I also recognize what you said, the ultimate goal is Jesus Christ. So if we could finish with a prayer.
Absolutely, Father. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your Son. You so love the world that you gave your Son to all humanity 2,000 years ago plus. But we give thanks that that is real and true today. You didn't give your Son to just walk this earth for 33 years, but for the rest of time to walk with us, to be with us, to be really present. Help us to deepen our faith and to live that with greater fervor and joy each day, and to proclaim, evangelize the truth for the world that it so desperately needs, that your Son lived, died, and rose that we might know. And we ask your blessing for all listening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Bishop Strickland, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Good luck with all your work.